Many of you guys have heard of Martin Luther. He was the guy who nailed the 95 Theses to the Castle Church in Wittenberg in the year 1517. However, later on in Luther's life, during his time at Wartburg, frequently we are told of his constant battle with the devil. The devil constantly disrupted his work. And the most famous story told is how Luther once he threw an inkwell at the devil when he was translating the Bible into the common language of his people. And this great temptation came and it confronted him face on. Luther's faith in God was tested to the max. The attack of his spiritual enemy was very intense and very clear, yet Luther kept on in busy service to the Lord. And really this story's importance to us lies in the reflection of this spiritual warfare, this battle that's inside Martin Luther. You see, sooner or later, every believer will discover that the Christian life, it is a battlefield. It's not a playground. And what you will realize very fast is that the enemy you face day in and day out, he's very strong. He's much stronger than me. He's much stronger than you. And he's much stronger than our friend Martin Luther. And really, Luther's experiences teach us that we are not immune either to this spiritual assault. You see, when you are a Christian, you have to realize, just like Luther, that the devil is in the business of trying to derail you, trying to cause you to fall into sin and temptation, minute after minute, hour after hour, and day after day. This spiritual battle is real for each and every one of us here this morning. But maybe you're thinking, what are you on about, Jamie? This can't be real. This can't be what's happened to me this week. Maybe you're thinking, I'll just try a little harder to overcome. And maybe you think the church walls once a week in DBC will insulate me in some way from the devil's threats. Or maybe you think, I'll just pray less. Maybe read my Bible less. Maybe not even do any of that at all. Unless harm will come to me. But let me warn you. Let me warn myself. The devil and sin, they're crouching at every door, ready to deceive you into opening it. And so the questions I want you guys to think about this morning are these. How are we to stand firm against the schemes of the devil? How are we to live a godly and pleasing life to our Lord? How are we to battle sin and self and all these attacks through our lusts, through our weaknesses, through our temptation, through our own pretty messed up ambitions? And really the Apostle Paul provides us with the answer that lands us back in our passage that we looked at last week. In Ephesians 6, so if you have a Bible, please follow with me. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 6, verses 10 through to 18. So follow with me. This is God's word. Verse 10 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present age, and against the spiritual forces of the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand firm. Having your fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is true truth, that it speaks truly about each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Cause us to see now. Cause us to be pointed to Jesus. Cause your church to forget about me and mull and dive into the things of you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we see the Apostle Paul is opening us up to this great battle, an armory that the Christian has. He's showing us that each piece of armor is labeled with the child of God's name engraved on it by God himself. And last Sunday morning we learned to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, meaning that we are made strong in Jesus and in his victory alone, not in ourselves. But our focus today is on verse 11. And in verse 11, Paul is encouraging us. Paul here is equipping us. He is assuring us that we can stand against the devil's temptation by putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the devil's assaults, the devil's schemes, the devil's temptations. You see, my friends, this is our only hope for spiritual victory. But what we must realize is this. As Christians, we do not fight for victory, but we fight from victory. And you're thinking, why is that, Jamie? Jesus, you see, has already won on the cross in his death and resurrection. But to put on the whole armor of God and to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, firstly, we must know who our adversary is, who our enemy is, and how he desires to lead us into sin. You see, unless we know who our enemy is, where he is, and what he can do, we will have a pretty difficult time in defeating him. You see, our adversary, the devil, his name means the accuser. Revelation 12 shows that the devil lives day and night to accuse God's people before the throne of God. The devil is the enemy of God. Matthew 4 shows that he is the great tempter. John 8 also highlights that Satan is a liar and a murderer. 1 Peter even compares him to a lion seeking someone to devour. Even if we head right back to Genesis 3, we see the cunning serpent, the devil, he challenges God's word, saying, did God really say that? He causes even Adam to fall into sin and hide from God. My friends, the devil is the same devil in the garden as he is this morning in Green Island Baptist. 2 Corinthians shows that he is the God of this age. And so in knowing all this, even feeling the personal weight and the struggle of all this, Paul is saying to us here, this is serious. His schemes must be taken seriously. Maybe you're thinking the devil, he's not that bad. He's just that little guy with the red pants and them horns. Is he really our enemy? You see, my friends, the devil is not to be passed over or smiled at. He's not compared to a lion for the fun of it, for the crack. Satan is not like your cute and cuddly Simba toy, but he desires to lead the Christian into sin and keep them away from God. And so the devil goes straight for the child of God in many skillful and thought out ways. You could say he's like a skillful general who will not attempt to storm a fort on the side that's impregnable, but rather he will direct his efforts to the weaker parts where he has better prospect of success. And so Satan considers the weak parts of you and me, and he directs his artillery so he can make the breach. You see, the devil dives in and attacks us with temptations, doesn't he? Secret sins. He tries to break up families. He tries to break up marriages. He tries to make us lovers of self, dividing relationships in church and at home. He challenges our identity by saying, are you really a child of God? He lies to us saying, Jimmy, if only you had this and that, life would be class. He deceives us by asking, do you really believe the Bible? He says, listen to all these God Channel preachers. They have it right. They say, if you follow Jesus, all will be well. No sickness, riches will flow from your wallet. You will always have an easy Christian life. He pollutes God's word by saying, you're not as sinful as the Bible makes you out to be. Jesus' death only won a part of your salvation. Make up the rest. The devil even tells us that if you really are a child of God, this shouldn't be happening to you. If you are really a true Christian, God would help you right now. The great deceiver will even try to lead us astray to make us do what we want. God can't punish sin. He's too merciful. There's no such a thing as hell. And of course, the list goes on and on and on. He tries to keep hold of you, Christian. He's a liar.
He's out to steal, kill, and destroy you. He's out to ruin your relationship with God and destroy your testimony. The devil even tried to do the same with Jesus in Matthew 4 after being fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. But we can be encouraged. The great tempter, he didn't stand the chance of deceiving Jesus. But in Jesus' strength and armor, we can stand a chance too. Why? Because even when we feel like Peter, we feel like Satan is desiring to sift us like wheat, we need to remember that we have one who prays for us, that our faith may not fail. We have one who we can run to for rescue and strength. Just like we had earlier, Psalm 37, the steps of man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, they shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Isn't that amazing? So not only is our enemy looking to lead us into sin, secondly, the devil tries to keep the believer from God through his many schemes. You see, pain and fear and frustration and disappointment, that I'm sure many of you guys know too well, are all part of the devil's schemes. One commentator says that the schemes of the devil, they rarely look evil until they accomplish their goal. He goes on to say they gain entrance by appearing attractive, desirable, and perfectly legitimate. He says this, they are baited traps. They are camouflage traps. And often we feel like that, don't we? Often we get caught up in these. We feel like Paul. We say to ourselves, for I do not do what I want. I do the very thing I hate. And maybe you feel the same way this morning. Maybe you're thinking, Jamie, this is not encouraging at all. Bring back Johnny. Maybe you're saying, I feel helpless, lost in my walk with God. Maybe you say, my life is 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. What are you thinking, Jamie? What is the remedy to kill my temptations, to kill all these schemes? Let me encourage you, God is not a God who is blind, but God sees the devil's schemes. And let me say this, he is a way ahead of them. God has provided a way for us to be guarded against him. And so Paul says we are to put on our weaponry in Jesus, because it alone defeats the devil's schemes. You see, it's our weakness that drives us to don these weapons of spiritual warfare in childlike dependence on Jesus. It's our weakness that drives us to God and all that he has supplied. And so Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Take your stand, Christian. What do you mean, Jimmy? Put on. It means to put on the characteristics of something that wasn't there before. You see, our friend loves these 2 words, put on. He uses them a lot to describe the Christian life. And really, Paul is pointing us to see the application in our text today as he encourages us to adopt certain qualities and characteristics of the Christian life. Paul says in Romans 13 to put on the armor of life, put on the Lord Jesus. Galatians 3 says, all who were baptized into Jesus have been clothed with Christ. They are to put on Christ. Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 says, put on the new man. Put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet, the hope of salvation. You see, put on means we're to put off the old self. Put off the old Jamie. Put on the new self in Jesus, the new Jamie, the born again Christian. Paul is saying that when you put on, you learn to think differently. You're thinking and living out in a new way. Because after all, who are you putting on? You're putting on Jesus Christ. You're now living in this indispensable resource of Jesus Christ. See, Paul doesn't say just put on, but he tells us what to put on. He says put on the whole armor of God. This is not something you put on your self. This is not your own armor, but this is God. God has supplied it. God has made it for you, Christian. And as we go through this list of armor over the next lot of weeks, we will see it. All these pieces of armor, they reflect God himself. But maybe you're thinking all this sounds class, Jimmy. But how are we actually to put on this armor? Firstly, we are to pray our armor on daily through constant communication with God. We are to speak to the very God who made it and learn of him through his word. We are to lay aside all to the captain of our salvation. So I wonder this morning, is there anybody here even reads their Bibles? Is there anybody here that even prays? Because if you're not in prayer, and if you're not in the word of God, you're going to be easy prey for the schemes of the devil. So let me encourage you to be the Christian who is fed and who is watered by the word and watered by prayer. You see, the Father of all creation, he lavishly gives good gifts to his children. He has given us not just this armor, but he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us pray, to help us understand his word, and to help us put his armor on. Isn't that amazing? You can be encouraged by that. You see, God is far more eager and able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think according to the power at work within us. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 3. And so as we confess our helplessness, as we lay aside all our own agendas and passions, we see that God then places his armor on us to stand firm against these schemes. So we can be encouraged, Christian. God is our shield this morning and our buckler. He is our almighty protector. You see, in our weakness, we see God's strength, don't we? We see his assistance and we see his refuge. And so when we receive our armor, we put it on. We are to put it to the use that God has made it for. Paul says, gird your loins with truth. The Bible shows that God is the God of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. God is righteous. God is the God of righteousness. Put on the feet the gospel of peace. God is peace. Take up the shield of faith. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Take up the helmet of salvation. God himself is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Take up the sword of the Spirit. God is Spirit. God is truth. His word reveals himself. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Put him on. So let me encourage you to stand today in dependence on God. Fasten on tight the whole armor of God. Can you not see this morning that real strength comes from God? When you put on Jesus Christ, it doesn't come from yourself. Put on Jesus and no weapon formed against you will prosper. My friends, that's what the Bible is telling you and me this morning. That's what the Bible is all about. Looking to one who is much greater than ourselves. To put on the whole armor is more than learning battle techniques. We are putting on the fullness of God himself in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You see, the whole armor of God, it applies to the whole of our lives. All pieces of armor, they all work together. They all serve a purpose for your life, every day and in every circumstance. And so ask yourself, are you equipped in part? Are you equipped in full? Do you depend a wee bit on your own strength? Or do you depend fully on God's? I wonder, do you even realize the power that God has provided for you, Christian? I love this story. John MacArthur tells the story of a man who had won a 2-week cruise. But this man, he didn't have any money. And so he took whatever little remains of money he had and he bought all the peanut butter and jelly, that's jam, and bread he could find. And what he did was this. He made enough peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for his 2-week cruise. For breakfast, lunch and dinner. Doesn't sound too good. Because he thought to himself, I don't want to miss out on this cruise. This cruise is going to be class. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to get a tan. And so about halfway through this cruise, somebody sees him eating his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And they say to him, what are you doing? Eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Do you not understand that if you have admission to the cruise, you have access to the banquets? You can eat anything you want. And there are times in the Christian life that we feel as if we're living the Christian life, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You see, because we don't realize the immeasurable resources that God has for us in Jesus Christ. Do you get that? We have access to his armor because of Jesus. I wonder, is this you? Do you know that the Christian has been given access to this whole armor? By God. You didn't earn it yourself. You see, God is calling you, Christian, for total dependence on his strength alone, like we learned from last week. My friend, this is the armor that God has supplied. I don't supply it, nor does Johnny, not even this church, nor your friends, and not yourself. This is the armor that God himself made, and he wears. This is not a second off eBay job. This is the real deal. This is God's beautiful characteristics in Jesus. The Bible teaches us to be imitators of God and walk in Jesus. That's what Paul teaches us in Ephesians 5. We are to run well with endurance in Jesus. See, not only do we see our weaponry in Jesus, you see, the reason we are to put on the armor is so that we can, fourthly, stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You see, we are to stand our ground. That's what this spiritual battle is all about. Standing firm in position in Jesus Christ. Resisting the devil. Standing in God's gracious provision. So I encourage you, don't let the devil grab an inch, for he'll take a mile. Take hold of your own spiritual battle. Stand firm in Jesus. Flee from the old ways of life. Keep progressing in the gospel. Keep pursuing Jesus. Stand and resist, and the devil will flee from you. And that's what Paul wants his readers to do in Ephesians. And that's what he wants us to do as well. To be strong, to be stable, and to be robust. My friends, that's the prayer of the leadership in this church for GBC. That we would have a strong, stable, God-given armor on as a church family. That we might daily win and overcome all the tactics of the enemy. Not just on a Sunday, but on your Monday, on your Tuesday, on your Wednesday, and on every day of the week. So let me encourage you, don't feel defeated, church. Don't feel discouraged anymore. You can be defeated. You can be confident. Why? Because Christ Jesus has took the greatest stand that you and I could not. Isn't that amazing? You see, the cross, it was D-Day. The cross was a decisive day, the decisive victory. And so for us as Christians, the cross and resurrection was D-Day for the devil. It was a decisive battle, and Jesus has secured the outcome. Isn't that amazing? You see, Jesus has already triumphed over the schemes of the devil. In his armor, so can we. The hymn writer got it right in saying, did we on our own strength confide? Our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Do you ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. The host of heaven is his name. From age to age the same. He must win the battle. And he has this morning. Praise him. Our victory is sure in Jesus Christ, Christian. Jesus reigns. He has won on the cross. Jesus has no rival or challenger this morning, does he? Jesus has no comparison or competitor. Death has no sting, and the grave has no victory. And wait to hear this. And their final defeat, it is on the horizon. Praise him. You see, it's because of God's victory in Jesus that people like you and me are even in the battle at all. Just like we sung earlier, in Christ alone, our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, our song. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, For I am his and he is mine. Christian, you're bought with the precious blood of Christ. The victory is his. And the amazing thing is, he's given it to people like you and me. For Jesus, he is the belt of truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He is our righteousness. Paul writes, Jesus has become wisdom for us from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Christ is also the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is our great shield of faith. Christ is our helmet of salvation. He has won our rescue when we are far from good and far from God. He is our rescue this morning, Christian. With Jesus, we fight the good fight against these schemes. We fight in his victory and in his strength of God's might. My friends, Jesus this morning is Lord of lords, and he is also King of kings. I wonder, have you ever noticed a bee or a wasp when they're buzzing around, people are flapping and doing everything, but there's always this one piece of advice that comes out. Just ignore it. It will go away on its own. Just leave the critter alone. It will go away on its own. But I wonder, has this been your attitude to Jesus? Just ignore him. Just ignore his armor. It will be forgotten about on its own. Or maybe do you ignore even the rescue that Jesus has won for you on the cross, so that you might be clothed not just in his armor, but in his blood? So let me challenge you as we close. One day you will not be able to ignore the exalted Jesus. The Bible tells us that at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So I wonder, do you realize that this morning? This armor is not for the non-Christian, but it's for the true born-again Christian who knows what it means for Jesus to be Lord of their lives. And so the question I ask you, Christian, the question I ask you, non-Christian, is not whether you will bow to him, but how will you bow? Think about that. Not whether you will bow, but how will you bow to Jesus? Will you bow to him as Savior and Lord, Redeemer and Friend? Or will you bow to him one day as your fearful judge? Let me encourage you to look to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Look full in his wonderful face. Spurgeon says, consider how he has loved you and gave himself for you. Do you know the power of that love this morning? You see, you don't become a Christian by keeping rules. You become a Christian by throwing yourself like a helpless person onto Jesus' righteousness. So the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Jesus calls us to come unto him, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give the rest for your souls. And only then, non-Christian, will you be certain of kneeling before him, of fear without eternal judgment, and without fear of an eternity in hell? Let me say, Christian, if you know what it means to bow and look to Jesus as Lord, don't get me wrong. I know the battle you're in. It is very, very hard. It is very, very hard. I'm in it too. But let me say, if you're knocked down and you feel the piercing schemes, let me encourage you to get up. Dust yourself down. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep fighting the good fight. If you're weary and spent and feel the sting of those darts from the devil, let me encourage you to look to Jesus. He doesn't grow tired and he doesn't grow weary. Stand and resist in him. If you're feeling battered and bruised, feeling the wounds more than ever, let me encourage you to lift your drooping head and your tired eyes to the one who was battered and bruised beyond recognition, yet won the greatest battle that you and I could know. Christian, Jesus is our help. Not just for today. But Jesus has been our help. He has been our armor. He will be our fuel. And he has been the fuel for every believer who has ever run this race. For every believer who has encountered these schemes of the devil. So Christian, young and old, let me ask, are you ready to stand? Single man, single woman, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, let me ask, are you ready to stand? Youth and children, grannies and grandas, marriages and friendships, are you ready to stand? Elders and deacons, sound team, mango team, youth leaders, small group leaders, worship bands, Green Island Baptist, let me ask, are you ready to stand? Are you all ready to offer this resistance to the schemes of the devil? Are you standing right now in the power of Jesus? Let me encourage you to stand firm and to stand always in him. The devil doesn't take any holidays. Don't let him catch you napping. Trust God's armor. Don't doubt it. But thank God for it. Ask him to help you put it on every day through our great helper, the Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you this week, even now, seek Jesus in every minute of time. For he lifts us up again and again. He keeps us on our feet. Keep coming to God to glory against Satan. Stand well in Jesus. For the one who's on your side is stronger than all the world, Christian. He will not fail you. For God perfects his power in our weakness, doesn't he? So let me encourage you to march on well in the help from above. Because whenever God starts something, will you hear this? He finishes it. So rest upon God's invincible power in Jesus this week, next month, this year. Keep going till the end, until our faith gives way to sight. Praise him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're full of love and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. That you have redeemed us in Jesus. That you have brought us near. Father, thank you for this great salvation. We thank you that it's Jesus' victory and not our own that we can stand in. Father, so I ask, would you take those who are mentally and spiritually not in this fight? I ask, would you challenge them? Would you help them? Would you, in a sense, put their blinkers on tight and cause them to look to Jesus? Thank you, Lord, that you're the same God who has provided today and that you will provide tomorrow for us. So help us, Father, put our armor on. Help us fight and stand well. Help us look to Jesus, our great protector. And Father, I ask, would you use us all in our own ways in this battle? For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.